Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 142 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my buddy, my co-patriot. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. And hey, Adam, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's good to be back. It's been a while again. Some travel conflicts and holidays. And
what's going on with us? We need to get our act together.
We do.
A podcast here. People expect things of us.
Yeah. We apologize to the 18 fans and as well as your father.
Right. And our spouses for not making money through this podcast.
Right. So please become a Patreon. Send it just to me. Right. Sponsor the show. Send it to me.
Yeah, we're barely paying our bills.
Actually, we're not paying our bills. We actually owe me money back from last year. I'm doing taxes and stuff, and the whole thing with the hosting of the show as far as the audio.
What?
Yeah.
What? So this is a losing enterprise?
At the moment, we are negative.
Shut it down. Shut it down. This has been the last episode of the show.
Unless people start paying.
JK, this is a passion project.
Passion project. Love. Yes. We do it for love and, a couple.
Glory.
Glory. Absolutely. Glory. Yeah.
What's new with you?
Just back from a trip, actually. I haven't taken that many trips in the last year, but, as things are kind of opening up a little bit here and there, went to see my parents last month, also went to see them this past week. I might have mentioned my dad turned 90 back in February. My mom has a birthday coming up. We don't talk about, mother's birthdays, but they also celebrated their 55th wedding anniversary.
55 years. That's unbelievable. Yeah,
which was a day prior to this recording. It doesn't matter when this comes out on the next week. April 2nd was their anniversary.
Man, oh man.
55 years. And that's kind of cool. So I took my youngest with me. Carson went with me. He had not seen his grandparents in almost 2 years. Wanted to make sure he saw them as well. And he saw some friends from California. It was good. That was a good trip, short trip, 3.5 days tops. Mm-hmm. And then also, I was going to mention, I don't know if this ever happened to you back in your agency days. I had a client reach out and say, hey, thanks. And I value you. And I want to give you a 10% raise.
Oh, my goodness.
On a monthly maintenance plan.
For real?
For real. I'm like, who does that?
How do you take that?
I didn't. I said, forget you. I want 15%, yo. No, I'm kidding. I took the 10%. I'm like, thank
you so
much.
You're a business master. Right? You're amazing.
Yeah. And then overall, based on not just on that, but based on another proposal I put out there that I bid high on purpose, we raised prices also for starting Q2 this year, raised the value-based pricing that I do for projects in general. Our base price has gone up. So, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty excited about that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's an interesting signal. It's not like unheard of for clients to tell you in some way, to signal in some way like, wow, your prices are lower than I expected, or I think that you might not be charging enough. I guess it's not common, but it happens. It's happened to us, and I'm sure it's happened to you in other cases where clients have said, huh, I expected more, a higher price.
Well, that project that we bid out recently is a whole recoding of the back end and whatnot, and I had a first initial thought of when we did discovery, my first price, based on what it would take for my team to build this, to do this, and then I just had a gut feeling like, I need more margin for error, literally, on us. If it does, if we get in there and it just takes us longer, I want to be able to make sure I have enough margin for our error, because I've had those in the past, with my past development team, whatnot. And not if it's a scope change or a, something different there. I mean, a change order is fine. A scope change is, it happens. I bid that job. And I got back word from the client. They had put out bids for some other agencies also. Apparently, they said that all the agencies who bid were 20 to 25% higher than their budget.
Wow.
So I was right on.
Oh, neat.
Right. I couldn't have been more happy to hear that, because had I gone in for that initial number, it would have been their budget. And I think I think I would have caused myself stress and a problem for the margin of error. You know what I mean?
Right. Sure.
I mean, the way it's like this. Let's say, just kind of, I'll make up some numbers here. Just a quick little side note. Let's say they budgeted 20K and I budgeted and I proposed 30. If I did it for 20, and if I have a problem, if I need to hire someone else, it's on me. Right. I have no room for error on me to fix the problem. But if I budget 30, they said yes. Then if I go over based on what I need, like if my developer says, hey, I need a few more hours, I can just eat it. Not a problem. That's the difference. That's how I'm protecting myself.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's a whole side note.
Savvy business move.
There you go. Savviness. It's all about the savvy. Savvy WP. You that's are. My new company. Wait, I'm going to check to see if that's available.
Savvy. Well, Rebecca had web savvy. That was her business.
And there's also DigiSavvy. I think that's Alex.
Oh, that's true.
Alex Vasquez. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Oh, and you, what's going on with you?
Well, you know, the use, trying to work on Easy Digital Downloads a lot more lately, doing more product stuff, you know, thinking about customers, thinking about ways to make more revenue and grow the user base and serve customers much better. And that's been really fun. You know, you talk about milestones, though. 55 years married, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Love it. I wanted to propose something. Mm. I believe.
You're going to propose to me?
I believe. You know, yeah.
Yay.
Yes. Adam. Will you be my podcast co-host for life?
Ooh, can I think about it?
Anyway, I believe as a society, we should do better at recognizing the importance of calling it quits when things aren't working.
Uh-oh.
We already celebrate endurance. We celebrate milestones since something began, like a job or marriage or a product launch. That's fine, but I think we should more often celebrate the end of things.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest we all start thinking about all the things we stopped doing, which we're glad we did. Did you quit a job or close a business down or leave a bad place or end a toxic relationship? Open up your calendar and mark the date it happened and then start celebrating that anniversary every year.
I don't know where you're going with this. It's not in the show notes.
Endings can be just as positive as beginnings.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. This is...
So for my part, this weekend marks 4 years since my last day running a digital agency.
I see what you did there.
I co-ran that company for just over 5 years. And in the beginning, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was my calling in life. I thought I would achieve incredible prosperity. I was wrong. It was not my calling. It was not a good fit. Took a while. I eventually figured out this was actually not my thing. Today, I celebrate the fact that I was able to walk away from the agency I co-founded because it wasn't right for me. This also means 4 years full-time with Sand Hills Development, and I don't want to detract from how happy I am to be here. It was the perfect place to end up, but I'm celebrating the end of a bad fit first and foremost today.
Okay, well, just to capitalize on that excitement, 55 months, 239 weeks ago, 1,674 days ago, 4,161 hours, 2.4 million minutes, 144 million seconds ago, I left the auction job I had.
Very well done.
Thank you. Yes. Bravo. I was as we know, that was awesome to leave. Yes.
That's worth celebrating.
Celebrating that. And I took the agency, my agency, full time. So coming up on 4 years, wonderful. 7 months. Yeah. So,
well, I encourage everybody to join us in celebrating your unmilestones.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to me that in, 5 months, it'll be 5 years for me. Yeah. Anyway.
We talked about that, I think, last time, trying to go for just
5 months longer than you. Right. Why did you have the company so much longer? I just beat Kyle. It's all about the one day more than Kyle.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's cool. So.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
So, did you see this or hear about this?
I read about it.
Yeah, a company called Sectigo acquired SiteLock.
Neat.
So, for those who don't, SiteLock is kind of a competitor to Sucuri.
Right.
They end like WordFence, and they offer protection. They offer protection for your website. Hey, you don't want to mess up. It sounds like protection, like it's the mafia.
Yeah.
They offer protection.
Right.
That's why not like mafia WP? I'm on fire today with the WPs.
I guess you are. Yeah. Yeah. Really something special.
Anyway, SiteLock. Yeah. And I used to use SiteLock. We used to know someone who worked there. Nice company. Actually, I remember meeting their owners back at like WordCamp Arizona, Phoenix, many, many years ago when we used to do WordCamp.
Oh, sure. So yeah, I thought they were based in that area.
I think maybe. So, yeah, Phoenix, I think, or somewhere in that general region, desert.
Right.
So congratulations for that acquisition. I'm not sure what it means to the company. Probably just, you know, potentially more growth or acceleration of locking of shutting things down. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now?
All right, I'll go first here. I went old school. I don't know if you could tell on camera here. I'm wearing my Get Options podcasting.
It looks great.
Blue that shirt so that you great. Got me. Like that's a, one of what? One? One of two that exist?
That's correct.
Yeah. I'm drinking some coffee and I'm reading. I just started a new book. I'm starting this like, I just started it last night actually. It's called The Psychology of Money. It is by Morgan Housel. It's Timeless Lessons on Wealth, Greed, and Happiness. So, yeah, I'm just kind of diving into some psychology of money. I mean, I'm psyched to get more money. So that's, I think that's what it's going to be about. So, and yourself?
I am wearing a WP Engine t-shirt, a Sandhills Development trucker cap. It's pretty new. I kind of like it. And
I'm a size large. Just send one of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. It's good to know. I'm drinking some pomegranate kefir. You ever had that stuff?
Is it kefir or is it kefir? I think it's kefir.
Is it? Dang it.
Yeah. It's kefir.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
You're just trying to...
No, it's kefir.
Okay, well, then I'm drinking that.
Okay.
And I like it. And I'm reading a book called The Last Wish.
Who wrote it?
An author, a great writer.
The one that we all love.
Yeah.
You know them from the other books that they wrote.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it's the Witcher series. It's the first book.
All right, we'll put a link in the show notes eventually. Okay, cool. Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
I think it's time to talk about the best things. This is a real puzzle that I have. The best things to put inside Easter eggs for kids. Is it candy? Is it raisins? Is it tiny toys or pennies or sand? What do you think?
That's right. I don't know the answer to that, but it's actually time for questions. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. And on the candy inside of the egg, I would go with M&M's.
Yeah,
I would say M&M's for sure. Not peanut.
How many like per egg?
Nine.
Nine per egg?
Yes.
That's a lot. What if we had dozens of eggs and just pounds of M&M's?
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
That's just too much candy for toddlers.
Oh, okay. Five. Two?
Maybe two.
Two
okay, max. I'm thinking two max.
Okay. All right. Why don't you ask that first question?
First question comes to us from an anonymous person.
Yeah. Like the author.
They ask, I work at a nonprofit as a developer and really like my job. I also like a bunch of my coworkers. That being said, there is too much drama, in my opinion, in our company. And it drives me bonkers. I even created a non-company Slack workspace so that I can communicate with some other coworkers that are on the same page with me. What are some options to squash the rumor/drama mongers at a company?
Oof, interesting question.
It's a little different.
All right. So I have, of course, three options. First and foremost, quit today as soon as possible. Literally, sooner than later, drama be damned.
Oh, my goodness. It's a great option.
It is. I mean.
I'm sure they haven't considered this.
I mean, yeah. That's honestly where I would go with it. That's
why people write into this show, to just get totally unexpected but sage advice.
That's option one. Option two, I'll give you my second option, then you can kind of give one or two if you have any. How many? Do you have a handful? One, two? Okay. So option two for me would be start monetizing those rumors.
Oh, tell me more.
Yeah, I mean, sell them as insider information to competitors.
Oh.
Start a blog. Neat.
Right.
AdSense, even Facebook, you know, market them on Facebook ads. It just really take it to the next level, snowball it, if you will, into a whole other thing that will then fund your, you know, next job, because you'll probably get fired for the mere fact or asked to leave because you've, you know, broken some privacy laws.
That's true. You could function as a mole.
Right.
And try and find information competitors could use to exploit.
Right. You know, it gets me thinking.
I mean, it is a nonprofit, to be fair. Competition might be a little bit different.
true. Dang it. You're deflating my excitement for this potential new domain I'm going to buy.
Sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, let's say it wasn't a nonprofit. But then you could, I mean, why aren't there, you never see job listings for moles.
Right. Yeah. We're going to hire you to go work at a competitor.
Well, I guess it's called, I guess that's what, when you work for the government, that's what you're doing, you know, in essence.
Oh.
Yeah. So, all right. What do you got? Mm-hmm. I have one more, but I'll come back to that at the end here.
I was thinking maybe it would be a good idea to stage an intervention with everyone.
Oh.
It sounds like a company problem.
Yeah.
Try calling an all-hands meeting on the pretense that you want to pitch some cool ideas or whatever. And then, or that it's somebody's birthday or something like that. And it's going to be cake, you know.
Surprise!
Everybody into the break room. And then when everyone shows up, tell them that this is an intervention. You want the whole company to look at itself in the mirror and realize that it is better than this. You stand up in front of that whole organization. You tell them they need to stop gossiping. You could even get specific and call people out like, Jerry, you need to stop talking about Joan's personal affairs and her financial issues. And you need to stop. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? It's the perfect way to correct the company culture by just confronting everyone directly. You right. versus them.
Right. Yeah. It's like, hey, Deluzio, come on. Pull your weight.
Right. Exactly. I heard from Karen that
Sarah is telling me that Tara told me that Scott said that,
Dustin's drinking all the coffee.
Right.
Never washes his dishes.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. Actually, it gets me thinking. I mean, ironically enough, when I was back in California, I sat with somebody recently and they work for a nonprofit. He actually is the executive director and found out that there was a ton of drama prior to COVID. That was happening. So the COVID shutdown of their program kind of helped thin out the herd, if you will. Some people aren't coming back ever, and some people are. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But it's, if you are in a leadership role, how do you deal with that? It's a good question. It's a tough question, actually, if you think about it. You know, we can poke fun all we want, but having drama, having gossip, especially in a nonprofit, specifically in a nonprofit, I think it's really toxic because everyone at the nonprofit should be on board for the overall mission of whatever that goal is.
Yeah.
And to have that drama, to have that underlying feeling is pulling energy away from the bigger picture. I mean, I'm really adamant here. I'm really serious.
Oh, you're right. Right.
Because I just had this experience recently at this place talking to the executive director. He had no idea. He had no idea there was this much drama amongst his staff. Which is also unfortunate. So then it got me thinking, well, then he needs to read traction, and get things in place about that, business leadership books that he needs to read. Yeah. So
I was thinking a little bit, well, I have thought on a number of occasions about the difference between, the funny thing is I work at a company that's about the same size as another company I worked at years ago.
Uh-huh.
But that was in person.
Right.
So it's kind of, in terms of like the size and scale of the company, highly comparable. I worked at another agency earlier in my work life.
Yeah.
And it's about the size of Sandhills is now, or it was. And what are some of the differences here? Like, I really like my coworkers now. And back then, I tolerated some and I kind of liked a couple, but there were a lot that I was grumbling all the time about the fact that I have to spend more time with these people than I get to spend with my own family.
Yeah.
Like this, how is this how it works? This sucks. This is just terrible. But then I reflected on also the reality that we had close proximity, forced proximity all the time. And I don't have that anymore. So if it's a total unknown, if the situation was flipped right now, and if I worked in an office with all of my current colleagues,
how would it be? You don't know.
we have no idea.
Right.
We might rub each other the wrong way all the time. I might get fed up with the way that some people like make noise and don't do their dishes and spend too much time at the water cooler. Like, I don't know. We don't know that. We're not forced into close proximity day after day.
Like, yeah.
Though we have like this safe, comfortable distance where we can like form relationships with each other as much or as little as we want. And if we don't really jive with somebody, it doesn't matter that much.
Right. I mean, I can tell you.
We're not really like forced to butt heads big time.
I can tell you
my point that tension is created.
My last job, I, as you know, did not like them.
Yeah.
I mean, I tolerated them. It wasn't like, yeah.
Totally.
I mean, I didn't wish them ill will from a big life perspective, but I did. I tolerated them because I had to at the time. I was in a position where I had to just, I needed that gig, you know, that job. But as far as if it was your workplace and stuff, yeah, it would be like, you know, it'd be me at the water cooler too much. It'd be Dustin not doing his dishes and Tara and Sarah just like pulling all the extra weight because they rock.
Yeah, I know. And making us look bad.
And making us look bad, yeah.
That's why we would resent them. Is right. Because they make us all look bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start rumors about that.
Yeah, but you're right. It's right. How does it would be in person versus, you know, the digital version? I mean, my last little option here, just to kind of wrap mine up, is... it's light, but it's, I mean, I'm serious as well, but pay no attention to it. I mean, this person's not in leadership. So I think they're not really in a role to do a whole lot on one aspect. On the flip side of that same coin, then, you know, maybe you do need to speak up and call it out discreetly, professionally. I think doing the whole, not being in leadership, doing the entire all hands isn't then their, it's not their role. It's not their place. Right. But I think if it would be, let's say it was you and I, if it was, you know, I would say, hey, you know what, Kyle, I think it'd be better served for all of us, or I just don't want to be a part of rumors and mongering and all that stuff and just the drama that brings it at a company. I would say just please refrain from sharing any of that stuff with me. As a, you know, as a professional courtesy, as a colleague, I'd rather not hear it.
Yeah, I actually had that kind of in my list.
Yeah, that's how here. That's how I would handle it personally.
I agree. I also wanted to say that in all seriousness here, I can tell you that the solution is not to create new back channels for private discussion.
Oh, the Slack channel that he created?
Yeah. This sounds like you are actually a part of the problem.
Oh, but I think the back channel, the way I read it was that way they can have discussions about stuff that's not work related, but just like friendly stuff, like almost like water cooler, but not work water cooler.
I don't know. Okay. It's possible, but I'm skeptical. No one thinks they are the ones starting drama.
That's awesome.
If you've created a place solely for the purpose of having conversations which exclude people you don't see eye to eye with, I think you're just as guilty as anyone at like reinforcing this culture. So keep that in mind. This is probably not the right solution.
Okay. All right.
Quick, a few rapid fire ideas for addressing workplace drama like this. One, I think it's healthy to try and do things which bring people together. Maybe ask for more collaborators, work together on meaningful projects and so on. You know, let's try and reinforce the message that, you know, we're a team here on a mission, trying to accomplish things. Let's keep our eye on that and not get distracted with petty things. Two, have honest, open conversations one-on-one with more people. Try to do more listening than speaking and try to understand people's perspectives. A lot of times things come out which are, there's really something, some underlying reason that you don't fully understand, that people are frustrated and venting about an issue. And you might not get it unless you listen and take that time. And that can really, you know, giving people a chance to air their grievances and, you know, someone to really listen to them can help them get things off their chest. Or maybe you can be able to bridge the gap and shine a light on misunderstandings and so on. Maybe be that person. Three, try and be the model for the drama-free colleague. Just like Adam was saying, absolutely spot on. Shut down conversations when they happen in your presence. If they are... the kind that could start drama. You uplift other people. Never talk about someone who isn't present.
Right.
Never gossip at all.
Right.
Be the model for this. Right. Four, I think I recommend just laughing it off and get a little perspective. here. Workplace drama happens. That isn't your life. You have much more important things going on to care a lot about office drama. It sounds like this is, you said it's driving you bonkers. Don't get so upset about this. Yeah. It's part of life. You can't ignore it. Remind yourself, none of this really, really matters to you. Don't engage in any of these conversations. Rise above it. Rise above it. And remember that your life outside of work is more important than these petty grievances. And the last tip, quit.
Yeah.
As I've said 100 times on this podcast, life is too short to work at a place that sucks.
Right. I will say, when you said, you know, laugh it off, I think you do need to be careful there, because you don't want to be complicit in laughing it off and not saying something. You know, there's that, you know, that aspect. You know, and I say this, and I've told this to a couple of my friends in the past, because I am at a place in life where I no longer want to be, I'm trying to level my own self up when it comes to, especially roles, identity, and jokes that can be a little edgy and offensive. You know, I have a friend of mine who says certain things because he's a different generation. He's a good 15, almost 20 years older than me. And he'll say certain things based on his generation that are sexist. And I have shut it down. Like every couple of years, it'll come back to his frontal lobe, and I'll say, you know what? I would appreciate it if you didn't say that anymore on the phone to me. Those kind of comments about, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think if you just laugh it off, you can't be complicit in helping it fester.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's probably true. I think if there's maybe there's a difference between like drama that you is coming direct to you. If someone is gossiping to you or suggesting anything to you, then this is an opportunity where maybe you should rise to the moment, right, and be the better person
and say, hey, look,
discourage toxic behavior and commentary and stuff. If in other cases where you're just kind of like hearing about,
right,
a beef with so-and-so and someone else, and if it doesn't involve you and concern you, then it doesn't concern you.
Right. And I mean, it's like if you have to say, hey, you know, Alex, you know, just stop right now. It doesn't concern me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good time. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I think we're good there. Question. You ready for question two?
I am so ready.
Yeah, it's right here. Okay. Oh, this is good. This was sent in. Do we have a name on this one? Do I have? Oh, no. Anonymous. Both anonymous. Yeah, that's right. A coworker reached out to me in confidence, saying that another coworker is leaving in a few months. That second coworker then told me that the first one is also looking to leave and has been interviewing. Funny as this may seem, what do I do in regards to telling HR and/or management, as I'm afraid that their workloads may be dumped on me?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a great first answer.
Okay. Get out first.
Quit today, ASAP, literally, sooner than later. Right. Beat them to the punch.
Last one out, closes the door. It's an employee exodus, a fire sale. Warn all the other colleagues that the ship is sinking and they should get out.
Right.
You cannot be the last one left.
Right. Yeah. Option two for me. You have a job. Suck it up, buttercup. More work, more job security. Ask for a raise. That's going to work.
Oh. Wow, yeah.
I mean, brilliant. At this point, maybe get them fired. Start a rumor.
There we go. Yeah.
You know,
I heard. Yeah. Exactly. You get it.
Yeah. And then I have a final third option. I'll give you my final third. Then you can give your, you know, I have an option here. May I?
Please proceed.
Okay. So being told something in confidence is a tough spot at the workplace. Any place really, that for that matter. If it were me, I would lean on the coworkers to do the right thing by having them lay the foundation to the company sooner than later. Because as a business owner, I'd want to know and plan accordingly. You know, if you're growing, if you're trying to hire other people to do certain things, and then all of a sudden the person who's going to be training this person to grow the team. I mean, this just happened to my buddy actually recently, where he was his developer. They were hiring more developers, junior developers, below the senior developer. And then that junior developer... I'm sorry, the senior developer then gave notice. He's like, well, why did we just go through that process of hiring three people? You should train them. You're not going to be here. That kind of stuff. So I would lean on the people who I know are leaving and say, hey, you need to go tell your up-channel people, because it's not cool. And you put me in a weird spot, you know.
True.
If they're friends. As the business owner, I'd want to know, yeah, it always sucks to find new people, to replace people. It's a pain. You know, and maybe if they're leaving for more money, maybe we can work out some other type of deal. You know, maybe it is an issue of whatever it may be. Why are they leaving? Those things also, you know. But I would lean on the people who I know are leaving to do the right thing. Tell HR sooner than later. As a company owner, I would want to know.
Yeah. You're right.
Thank you.
Your right answer. Yeah, my answer is not right. Yours is right. Yeah.
Wow. 142 episodes, finally.
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't even respond to this question.
What do you got?
Well, I don't know. I'll skip some stuff because I think your answer was better. But
wow, thanks.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it does happen that our employers ask us to pick up some slack temporarily. I don't know. It's part of life. It happens. If your employer is dumb enough to think that the work formerly done by three people can now be done by one, I guess you should probably bail as well. But yeah, That's insane and probably not the reality. Mm-hmm. They hired three people to begin with. They're probably not thinking, I guess you can just do all the work.
But on the flip side, I've worked at a company when I worked a long time ago. My boss and I both left by chance within about 2 weeks of each other. They hired four people to replace the two of us.
Wow.
That was flattering. You know, but they wouldn't give us more money. You know, that's a whole long story. That was 20 years ago, but still.
Well, you know, not every business is going to be run the way that makes perfect sense. Right. And there's always more to the story that you don't really know. Mm-hmm. But I'm skeptical that it's going to play out just like you're afraid.
Right.
It will. The extra workload, I don't know. It could happen temporarily. It's unlikely to happen long term. If some colleagues depart, you might be a team player. You might help with some extra duties for a little while. You can't be expected to shoulder new loads without neglecting anything.
Right.
You're responsible for the job you were hired for. So these are the cases where it's important for you to just be clear about what you're able to accomplish within the time you're working. And when things can't happen, you have to make it known early. Like, this is unrealistic. I will not be able to accomplish this by that deadline because it's just me and I have these other duties. You have to just... It puts a little more burden on you to communicate this stuff so that just in case there's a dense manager who thinks that you can just shoulder the extra work without missing a beat, they've got to be forewarned. And then you're not the one taking flack after the fact because you missed a deadline. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just important. You have to communicate, be realistic. Don't pull extra hours to make up for someone else's absence.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hiring, people leaving, all that stuff, from an operations perspective, it's never fun. It's always a kind of a pain. Unless you're celebrating the closing down of a company. Leaving. Full circle. Yeah. Full circle.
Right, yes, you're on milestone.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything else to add to that one?
No.
No. Okay. I think we have a segment. What's this week? We do have a long segment. Well, you have a lot more stuff than I do. So, really? The segment this week is do and queue. Okay. This is where we share what we're listening to in our queues of different types of content, right, from reading to video, audio, etc. So I have like half a dozen. About that. And you have like 13 dozen.
Wow. No,
not quite.
Really?
13. No.
Really? Come on.
No, you have like a
dozen.
You
consume just as much content as I do.
I don't think I do as much lately.
None of it's worth recommending? Is that the problem?
No. Yeah. No, probably not. I'll just knock out a couple of my first ones. Lately I think I watched something based on your recommendation, The Last Blockbuster.
Oh, I recommended
you
that
did.
Too.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, wasn't that kind of neat?
It was neat. It was really neat.
It was more entertaining than I expected.
It's about the Blockbuster video chain and the whole how that started. It's on Netflix and what happened to it. And of course, Blockbuster says it wasn't Netflix that put them out of business. I 100% disagree with that. It was Netflix.
Well,
I mean,
yes. I don't know. Would they have gone out of business if Netflix hadn't been there?
Well, they had a chance of doing the streaming first as well. They had a chance of even acquiring Netflix. Because I read the book. There's a book about Netflix.
Yes.
Because Netflix started off as a competitor, just, you know, like kind of like Redbox almost. Like they were just doing the mailing of the DVDs.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, so there was a chance that I think Blockbuster actually had an opportunity to buy it.
And they did, and they passed.
And they passed.
And that was one of those like historic failures.
So yeah, anyway.
And then later when the recession came in 08 and 09, mm-hmm. the situation was actually that they were both positioned basically equally well. Actually, Blockbuster was kind of
bigger.
Maybe in a better position.
Yeah, they were.
It had basically the same technology. They were doing the streaming and the mailing and the
It was mostly the mailing first.
They didn't have streaming.
They didn't have streaming yet. It was all the mailing.
Anyway, whatever Netflix had, Blockbuster also had.
Right. It was the mailing. Right.
Problem was, Netflix had cash to weather the storm.
Right.
Blockbuster had debt.
Right. And yeah, because
could not survive. So, period.
It's a good documentary. I highly recommend it. But the other thing is, I remember when they talked about video stores. I remember going. I mean, this is prior to your birth. I would go with my dad. My mom would go to the warehouse before even Blockbuster existed. There was the warehouse. There was Tower Records, but we'd go to the warehouse, and we had a Betamax machine. Our Betamax had a remote control that was wired for just pause. It was a single button pause button. It was A. B, but we'd go to the warehouse to rent a movie, and the movies were behind the counter. So you actually got in line, and if someone was in front of you and picked the movie that you wanted, you were out. So you just kind of had to wait to see what was going to be available at your turn. You had about 5-6 minutes, but you're looking the whole time as you're waiting in line, weaving through the store. You're kind of looking at the back of that wall, like, okay, what do I want? What do I want? And again, like they said, there was like one of each movie, if that, you know. So anyway, right. It was kind of crazy. But okay, so I watched that. That was really good. I watched two episodes, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
The third episode just came out.
Yeah,
I haven't watched it yet.
Yes, either have I. Yeah. And I think on your list also, the overlap was Darknet Diaries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Guild of the Grumpy Old Hackers. There's a follow-up episode as well. There's two episodes there. It's a three-parter, technically.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
It was awesome.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. You love hacker stuff.
So I do.
You would like this.
And then most recently, on the flight back, I'm trying to catch up on some older movies, per se. American Hustle. I watched that. I have it in my queue. Here, I'll just rack up my queue real quick. In my queue next is WandaVision, season. Mm-hmm. I guess season one. I haven't watched any of those yet. Sole Moonfry's documentary called Kid 90, because she's like my age, and you know who she is, Punky Brewster.
No.
Oh, she was an actress. Anyway, she and I actually had the same agent for about a year. We never met. Yeah, I had an agent in L.A., Jerry Pace. Uh-huh. Anyway. But I knew we had the same agency, same agent. And Jojo Rabbit's on my list as well.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
Is it?
Yes.
That's so good to hear that. Yeah, I want to watch that. I think I might watch that today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's my list. WandaVision, Kid 90, American. I just watched American Hustle, but Jojo Rabbit's on my list right now.
You will love it.
Okay, yeah. Cool. What do you got?
Other than the things that you said, I love the show Song Exploder on Netflix. It's from a podcast on the Radiotopia Network. It's super great, where they really do a teardown of a popular song with the artist. And so they've done two seasons now of an actual show.
Huh.
And it's fantastic.
I'll check
that out. The new season has The Killers, Dua Lipa. I'm forgetting who else. Somebody. The first season had Lin-Manuel Miranda doing a Hamilton song. And,
never heard of him.
gosh, I can't remember them all off the top of my head. Oh, R.E.M.
Oh yeah.
And anyway, it's such a great show. Such a great show. Check it out. I watched a movie called The Big Sick on Netflix, which I enjoyed. I like the actor Kamal something or other from. Silicon Valley.
Oh yeah,
and it was funny. I've been listening to a lot of Dua Lipa on Spotify, and a podcast called Cautionary Tales is a new favorite of mine. That's on the Pushkin Industries Network, the Malcolm Gladwell's network. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, a really good friend named Rob. Created his own podcast really recently, and it's like a Christian podcast, but like it's amazing, and he's never done a podcast before, but he's so talented, and it's one of the most well-produced, entertaining shows I've ever listened to. It's called Audible God.
Like ours, like this show.
Yeah, kind of like a wannabe Get Options. just incredible post-production, a lot of humor, fantastic guests, stories that'll make you cry. It's incredible. So if you know, if you're into any Christian stories, Audible God is like the best thing on podcasts now.
But you're Catholic. I'm so confused.
Right.
Oy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Conan O'Brien's interview with Shaquille O'Neal on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast. I forget his name, but the COO for Shopify was recently on Tim Ferriss' podcast, and that really inspired me. There was a lot there that like got me in the right frame of mind. I loaded lots of new ideas in my little notepad of things to try.
Was that Harry Harley Finkelstein?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, I just put it in the show notes. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Paul McCartney was on the Smart List podcast, which I enjoyed. I can't believe that guy. He's a legend. Mm-hmm. So entertaining. I've been listening to a lot of a very comedic podcast called Your Favorite Band Sucks. And they cover a new band every episode, classic band, and just shred them and give you all the reasons that this band is terrible. and it's immensely entertaining every time. And you'll probably love it and hate it. On YouTube, I watched Michelle Ames, our friend, interview Matt Mullenweg on WP Coffee Talk. Mm-hmm. And I also watched a good TEDx talk called The Dangers of Whitewashing Black History.
Mm, interesting.
And that was really good. I watched and read a lot of stuff for Black History Month.
Yeah.
And didn't do a really good job of keeping track of all those links. But that was one that really stuck with me. There were some lessons from that just I couldn't stop thinking about after watching it. So I recommend it.
Okay.
That's my list.
It's a good list. The Dua Lipa. I think my kids listen to Dua Lipa. I'm pretty sure they're into that.
Yeah, she's amazing. The Tiny Desk Concert.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. And the new Future Nostalgia album should have won best album at the Grammys.
The problem I have with audio-based podcasts is I can't listen to them at 1.5x because you don't get the gist of, you know, of the music. You know, like when I listen...
Music podcasts, right.
Anything specifically that has like a strong audio element or is a focal point.
Right.
So because they're just, you know, I have to slow it down to real time.
Yes.
And I don't have time for real time. No, I do, but you know.
Yes.
So I literally, in my settings of my podcast player of choice, which is Overcast, I'll set, what's the show? I think you listen to it also.
Broken Record?
No, not that one anymore. Hold on. Let me just look it up real quick. Hey, vamp for 1 second.
Yeah, I do the same thing because you can customize your speed per show.
Right.
And so Song Exploder and Broken Record and Strong Songs are three musical podcasts that I listen to pretty regularly.
Sometimes
they're super good.
Sometimes 99% Invisible will have an audio specifically one, so I'll slow it down for that manually. But the other one I'm thinking of really is... It's right here.
Did you listen to their recent mini stories series on 99PI?
I don't think I did. Maybe I'm not caught up on that.
They did a couple episodes. They do an annual thing where they do like a series of mini stories.
Oh.
That didn't make full episodes about.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And this year, they were super good.
Yeah. 20,000.
And there was one that, like, one of them had like the island off the coast of England with the sheep eating seaweed. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was interesting. And then they had this story about like games or machines that make music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cracking up when they had like this weird musical take of Johnny Cash's Hurt.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was so funny. It was so funny.
Yeah, the two, I want to actually mention two more. So 20,000 Hertz is the one that I specifically, because it's all about audio. And they just did an episode about the 20th Century Fox opening music, you know, like how that came to be and how like that whole Newman family is, they have like 19 Oscars amongst the family for the last 100 years. And if you listen, you should listen to that. You'll like it.
That sounds fascinating.
The other podcast, I just want to add one more real quick to my own queue, is WP Briefing with Josefa.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Really good. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I know who edits it. We both know who the editor is of that show, too.
Okay. Okay.
It's not me. So, you know, it's not me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would give a shout out to David Bissett and Corey Miller, who are now doing the WP excerpt
in
the post-status draft feed. It's supposed to be a shorter, like, summary of, like, the week of WordPress news kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And they get a little long-winded sometimes, but they do a good job of covering the topics. And it's another way to kind of, like, tune in to what's happening in WordPress.
Right.
There aren't a lot of, like, shows in WordPress that are, like,
there used to be WP,
the latest.
There used to be WP Weekly, remember?
Yeah, WordPress Weekly
was close.
was a little bit. Yeah, they would cover some of the news stories, do kind of a long form interview and right. so on. Yeah. But we haven't had like the equivalent of like NPR's Up First. Right. Like, here's what's happening. Here's what you need to know.
And yeah, exactly. Or the New York Times, The Daily.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. All right. Well, good lists. And by all means, check out all this will be in the show notes. Thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you have, questions@getoptionspodcast.com, or use the SpeakPipe feature of the website. Also, check out, I'm sure you can send us money through some Zelle, Patreon, Postal Check, Stripe,
Bitcoin.
What's that other app called? A Venmo. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, @get_options. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. We're on SoundCloud. And say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
That was weird.
You're weird.
Okay, I'll do that again then.